Good morning, church. My message for this morning is, the battle is not ours, but God's. The world as we notice today is in a big mess. We as believers are facing internal battles of anxiety, depression, fear, and worries at this present moment. We are experiencing inflation, food insecurity, souring energy and food prices, and the high unemployment rate in our nation at the present moment. And we are also facing uncertainty for our nation as we go to the polls on the 29th of May. We must remember that every believer is in a battle. Ephesians chapter 6 verse 12 states, "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realm." Today I want to use 2 Chronicles chapter 20 as a template to show you that the battle is not ours, but God's. Please understand that we can't build a general doctrine from one prophetic word in one battle that Israel fought. We can't say that the strategy fought in this battle applies to every battle. Even the biblical history of Israel shows that God gave Israel different strategies for different battles. But we can learn valuable lessons and principles from this battle. After this, the Moabite and Ammonites with some of the Meunites came to wage war against Jehoshaphat. Some people came and told Jehoshaphat, "A vast army is coming against you from Edom, from the other side of the Dead Sea. It is already in Ezezon Tamar, that is En Gedi." Alarmed, Jehoshaphat resolved to inquire of the Lord, and he proclaimed a fast for all Judah. The people of Judah came together to seek help from the Lord. Indeed, they came from every town in Judah to seek him. We see in this chapter that a coalition of three nations wages a war against Judah. By jeopardizing Israel's existence in the land given to them by God, the invaders threaten to reverse God's divine plan and challenge his universal sovereignty, just as it is today. The king and all the people of Judah were alarmed and sought God and proclaimed a fast, an action often accompanying prayer in times of emergency and distress. It was a wise thing to do because Jehoshaphat knew the God he prayed to well, and he had faith and trust in him. Jehoshaphat knew that God would intervene for him, as he did for Israel in the past. Though in earlier chapters he made unwise decisions, here we see a king who comes humbly before God. He is a direct ancestor of Jesus. In Matthew chapter 1 verse 8, in the genealogy of Jesus, it says, "Asa, the father of Jehoshaphat, Jehoshaphat, the father of Joram." In verse 5 to 12, it says, "Then Jehoshaphat stood up in the assembly of Judah and Jerusalem at the temple of the Lord in the front of the new courtyard and said, 'Lord, the God of our ancestors, are you not the God who is in heaven? You rule over all kingdoms of the nations. Power and might are in your hand, and no one can withstand you. Our God, did you not drive out the inhabitants of this land before your people, Israel, and give it forever to the descendants of Abraham, your friend? They had lived in it and built in it a sanctuary for your name, saying, if calamity comes upon us, whether the sword of judgment or plague or famine, we will stand in your presence before this temple that bears your name and will cry out to you in our distress, and you will hear us and save us. But now, here are men from Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, whose territory you would not let Israel to invade when they came from Egypt. So they turned away from them and did not destroy them. See how they are repaying us by coming to drive us out of the possession you gave us an inheritance. Our God, will you not judge them? For we have no power to face this vast army that is attacking us. We do not know what to do, but our eyes are on you. All the men of Judah with their wives and children and the little ones stood before the Lord. The whole of Judah, including women and children gathered at the temple, shows how strong the idea of a gathered community is in prayer. Jehoshaphat's prayer is a declaration of biblical traditions followed by current application and a request for action. Two rhetorical questions are asked in verses 6 to 7. Number 1, are you not the God of heaven? To declare God's attributes. 2, did you not drive out the inhabitants of this land before your people, Israel, and give it forever to the descendants of Abraham, your friend? This is to declare God's past divine actions. The current situation, however, was one of injustice. The Israelites had obeyed God and not invaded territories of Moab, Ammon, and Edom when they conquered Canaan. In Deuteronomy chapter 2, verse 5, it says, "Do not provoke them to war, for I will not give you any of their land." This prayer is an emergency. In an emergency is not mournful, but releases confidence in God, appealing to him to judge them. A vast army was facing a powerless people, but the prayer declares the reality that treacherous invaders had come against a just God who ruled over all the kingdoms of the nations. There was expectancy. Our eyes are on you to see what God would do. This chapter shows that Jehoshaphat had a higher trust in God than in his military resources, and that he rightly sees the temple as a place to seek God, just as we come to church to seek God. Then in verse 14, God's answer to Jehoshaphat's prayer comes immediately when the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jehaziel the Levite. In verses 15 to 17, it says, "He said, 'Listen, King Jehoshaphat, and all who live in Judah and Jerusalem, this is what the Lord says to you. Do not be afraid or discouraged because of this vast army, for the battle is not yours, but God's.'" Tomorrow march down against them. They will be climbing up by the pass of Ziz, and you will find them at the end of the gorge in the desert of Jeruel. You will not have to fight this battle. Take up your positions, stand firm, and see the deliverance the Lord will give you, Judah and Jerusalem. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Go out to face them tomorrow, and the Lord will be with you. Have you ever noticed that God is always asking us to listen? Perhaps this is because we have a tendency not to pay full attention and really listen. If we really listen, we will hear with a greater ability to understand. God also instructs his people not to be afraid. One of the ways the enemy is victorious over us is when he causes us to be afraid, mainly through deception. Once we become afraid, we make fear-based decisions because of our inability to hear God. As we stand believing God, we stand unafraid because we are confident in who our God is. The people must confront the enemy in the way that God commanded. In this case, they went out as prayerful spectators, not as combatants. In other battles, they were given a specific strategy for the battle, battle, and they won the victories through combat. Then in verses 18 to 19 it says, Jehoshaphat bowed down with his face to the ground, and all the people of Judah and Jerusalem fell down in worship before the Lord. Then some Levites from the Kohathites and Korahites stood up and praised the Lord, the God of Israel, with a very loud voice. The response of Jehoshaphat and the people of Judah is one of complete trust. They believed the prophetic word without question and began praising God before the battle is even waged. The people's response was to worship the Lord while the Levites praised the Lord with a very loud singing. The purpose of praise and worship is to create a connection between us and God. It is a way to do spiritual battle, which is critical in a believer's life. When we magnify God, singing of his wondrous works from creation to the cross and into eternity, we invite him into our lives. It honors his greatness and focuses our minds on him, no matter the season we are walking in. In verses 20 to 24, it says, early in the morning, they left for the desert of Tekoa. As they set out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, listen to me, Judah, and the people of Jerusalem. Have faith in the Lord your God, and you will be upheld. Have faith in his prophets, and you will be successful. After consulting the people, Jehoshaphat appointed men to sing to the Lord and to praise him for the splendor of his holiness as they went out at the head of the army. Give thanks to the Lord, for his love endures forever. As they began to sing and praise, the Lord set ambushes against the men of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, who were invading Judah, and they were defeated. The Ammonites and the Moabites rose up against the men from Mount Seir to destroy and annihilate them. After they finished slaughtering the men from Seir, they helped to destroy one another. When the men of Judah came to the place that overlooks the desert and looked towards the vast army, they saw only dead bodies lying on the ground. No one had escaped. Jehoshaphat's exhortation to his army at the start of the battle is most unusual. It does not attempt to inspire courage or bravery, but encourages belief in God as the path to victory. Jehoshaphat also commends belief in God's prophets, which is an important theme in Chronicles. The actual battle account is brief and unclear, but the ultimate result is certainly miraculous. The entire enemy army self-destructs. As they were singing and praising God, God acted, and they had done nothing apart from praying and praising the Lord. Not only that, in verses 25 to 29, it states that they were able to gather a huge amount of bounty. And the fear of God came to all the surrounding nations when they heard how the Lord had fought against the enemies of Israel. So what can we learn from this chapter? The story of Jehoshaphat in 2 Chronicles chapter 20 shows us how to have confidence in a crisis, not confidence in ourselves, but confidence in God. The story teaches us that we can be confident in a time of crisis if we let our great need drive us to prayer and faith in our great God. Through Christ's work on the cross, we as believers have access to our Heavenly Father. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 18 says, for through him we both have access to the Father by the Spirit. In Luke chapter 18 verse 27, Jesus says, what is impossible with man is possible with God. This chapter illustrates how we can be dependent on God when we truly seek him when we are in a crisis in this world. Battles then and now are part of a human life. The scriptures convey a constant message that security and victory depend not on military might or fortifications, but on loyalty to God. seen in trusting worship and prayer. God may give us victory in our battles in surprising ways. We should do well to imitate the response from Jehoshaphat and the people of Judah, because real worship is something you do, not something you watch. This is especially true of bowing down or prostration. Lying on the ground or bowed with bent knees is a symbol of humility. This posture is both an act of repentance and worship. We need to, number one, seek the Lord. This should always be our first step if God is the ultimate and final answer to our problems. Then why seek other answers first? Why go to any other source? Finding the help we need begins with finding God, and only those who seek Him diligently will find Him. Jeremiah chapter 29:13 says, "You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart." And Jesus also said in Matthew chapter 6 verse 33, "But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." Number two, remember what God has done. We see in verses 6 to 9, as Jehoshaphat prayed, the people recounted their past victories, and they were reminded again and again of God's faithfulness, of how He had helped them in the past, and they also remembered that they were His people. We need to remember what Christ has done on the cross for us, so that we are enjoined into the family of God, no matter what transgressions that we may have committed. Number three, realize that the battle is not ours. I think the key lesson is to, one, listen for God's instructions, and two, do what He says. If He says, "Leave this one to me," we should do so. If He tells us to do something, we must do that. If we don't hear anything specific from the Lord, then we should seek guidance from the Bible and or a leader. In this case, we are considering God spoke through a prophet. In verse 12, we reach what I think is the high point of Jehoshaphat's prayer, where he says, "Our God, will you not judge them? For we have no power to face this vast army that is attacking us. We do not know what to do, but our eyes are on you." What a beautiful and humble admission, especially for a king, for a leader of a nation to make. Wouldn't it be wonderful to hear our politicians pray this verse today? Number four, have faith and allow God's strength to work through you. This is what Jehoshaphat said to the nation in verse 20, after the Lord revealed His plan. Jehoshaphat simply encouraged the people, and that is what we as believers are called to do. We are called to promote faith and encourage one another on towards love and good deeds. Number five, we need to tap into the power of praise and worship. You will notice that as the people of Judah were praising and singing to the Lord, the enemies of God's people were slaughtered. Praising and worshiping God builds up our faith and to trust Him for victory. Our voices raised in praise and worship helps us rest in Him while He fights our battles. This not only needs to be done on a Sunday meeting, but daily in all aspects of our lives. In closing, as Jehoshaphat and the people of Judah faced the battle of three armies, we also face three battles in our lives today, which is number one, the world; number two, our flesh; number three, the devil. But we need to remember that the battle is not ours to fight on our own strength, but with God's power. He wants to do a mighty work in our lives as we seek Him, believe Him, and praise and worship Him. Amen.